Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
David Poile, Nashville Predators general manager, on with us. David, I really appreciated the visits throughout the year, weekly, and thanks so much for catching up with us today. I know this is a big day for you as you sort of wrap things up with this last season.
Well, it is. We've actually, since we lost out on Thursday night, had all of our pro and amateur scouts here in anticipation of going on to the next round, but we had to carry on after that. So we've had meetings the last 3 or 4 days, and also Peter Laviolette and myself have had exit meetings with all the players, and so it's been a rather a very busy, hectic time. I mean, no time really to reflect too much on the season. It's been all kind of just cleaning things up and what have you. But that's where we are, and just going to finish up with the scouts tonight, and then we'll be ready for the draft and start preparing for next season.
When you look around the league and watch these playoffs right now, how much is this league evolving? How does that factor into your decision-making in the offseason with what to do with your roster?
Well, I must admit it's hard to watch. I've watched a little bit, parts of a couple of games that I haven't watched totally. It just seems to be hard right now. I want to take into consideration everything and everybody's team and how good Winnipeg was, and are we good enough to beat them, type of thing. How do we compare it with all these teams? But honestly, it's mostly about us and where we are. The exit meetings and that we had with the players, and the team meeting that we had with the players was very very interesting. That some of the things that got said and some of the belief that our players have in our current team and in each other, and I guess you'd say the chemistry and culture. And in a nutshell, they were just more or less asking to not make a lot of changes. That basically give us another chance. I mean, as Coach Laviolette said today to the media, that he would really like to have another shot, another 7-game series, and that's being very respectful to Winnipeg. But it's not like we're afraid of any team or anybody, and we think we can win. We just didn't get the job done. So again, as we move forward, I think I start with the foundation that we do have a good team. Our core of players is pretty well signed. We just have 3 contracts to do on our main team, Saro, Salamaki, and Hartman. And I know it's inevitable that you'd make some changes, but right now I'm not upset with anybody individually. I think that, man, we've got a glaring hole on our team, and if we've got to change this or blow this up or what have you. So I think we're in a really good position, and other than the obvious that we just didn't win, I think we've got the foundation to have another really good season next year, and I'll take our chances with these guys again.
Peter said during that press conference, which we aired some of, that the numbers were close, and I understand 4-3 is close, and that's the only number that matters, but the games weren't particularly close. The home games definitely weren't particularly close. How do you kind of measure how to measure what was close? Are you only looking at the 4-3, or do you have to look at the 7 games and the 4 losses?
Probably a little bit of everything, as I went through it in my mind and verbally today with the media. It's like game 1, I couldn't have asked for a better performance in terms of how we played, what we wanted to do. The shots were 48-18 in our favor, yet we lose the game 3-1. Game 3 up in Winnipeg, we have a 3-0 lead in the first period, and we give up 4 goals in the second period and lose. Could we have a do-over there? Could we have done a better job there? Games 4 and 6 up in Winnipeg were outstanding by our team, how we played it. Felt for sure like we were going to win the series. I mean, I couldn't be happier with how we played. Game 7, a couple of fluky goals in the first period, and we just couldn't catch it. Change the style of the game and how they played against us. Could we have been better? Absolutely. And we could go down some individuals or some different situations, but it was the two best teams in the National Hockey League playing a playoff series that was predicted to go a long way, and it did. It went seven games, and there's not a lot to choose between the two teams, and they won the seventh game. I mean, where I'm probably the most disappointed is that how hard we played all the regular season and what we accomplished. And one of the things that we really tried to get, because we didn't have it last year in the playoffs, was home ice. And we've played so good at home for years, and we lose three playoff games in the round to Winnipeg. That leaves as big a mark as anything with me.
Well, and I'm going to ask you sort of the good and bad here with players in this playoff run. First, the good. Ryan Johansson looks like he really matured over the course of these playoffs and throughout the season. How excited are you to continue to watch his development and what he's been doing with that first line?
Yeah, really good. I mean, Ryan is growing up as a person, and that's translated into how he plays the game. Again, I think we're always going to push him to be a little bit more consistent. I'd certainly like to see him become a point-a-game player in the regular season, but there is no argument that he's been one of our best players in the last couple of years in the playoffs, and he gives us that ability to match up against anybody's first line. So going forward, that's a huge plus for us.
And Kyle Turris had a good regular season, was really good right after you acquired him from Ottawa, struggled quite a bit throughout the postseason. Is that frustrating to watch? Because I know at times when you acquire someone, you're envisioning what they're going to bring to your club right away, but probably also envisioning what's going to happen in the playoffs with those players. Was it frustrating at all watching Kyle Turris in that second line?
Yeah, that was a tough one. I mean, again, you know, we're going to have to spend a little bit of time with Kyle and his line mates. I mean, as you said, he played so well. I mean, to me, he was the difference maker from last season to this season in terms of getting our team really believing that they could be not only a top team, but, you know, probably helping us get to the President's Trophy. I mean, Kevin Fiala and Craig Smith, with all due respect, were really struggling come out of the gate this year. We bring in Turris, and their line probably was our first line for about 20 games. Kyle's a really good player. He was outstanding last year in the playoffs for Ottawa. He was their first line center. He scored overtime goals. He was fantastic. So, you know, sometimes this happens, and I mean, he doesn't need any more. I mean, if nobody feels as bad as Kyle does right now. I mean, you know, we can all sit here and say if he had scored two or three goals, like that could have been the difference, but it didn't happen for Kyle this year. It didn't happen in a good part for his line. And, you know, that's an area that has to be better. I mean, if you're going to win a round of playoffs, you're going to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, you can't have too many players that are just not getting it done in the playoffs.
This is a question that's been popular among some fans, and even though I think I know the answer, I'm compelled to ask. You think your defensemen at some point along the way missed Phil Housley, or were adjusting to not having him as a sounding board?
I think that's a reasonable thought, and, you know, kudos to Phil, who did a great job. But I thought our defense was always really, really good. All your top four guys, I thought. Subban and Ekholm did a magnificent job in the playoffs and playing against the top line of each team. I wish that Roman and Ryan Ellis maybe had hit the scoreboard, you know, a couple of times. It didn't seem like it was from lack of getting opportunities or shots, but for whatever reason, they just didn't score as well. But I think our defense played really, really well.
Nashville Predators general manager David Poile, our guest on the Midday 180.
How do you view Tolvanen now as you start to plot for next year? Is that a guy who you need to have room for to edge in on the second line? Or what's the thinking at this stage?
I would say he's penciled in on our team. We need to and want to give him every chance to make our team. He has to have a big summer. I think, you know, a little bit of the size and the strength. He looked like a young player in the three games that we gave him. The opportunity to play in the regular season. It's interesting that he's gone back to the World Championships to play for Finland. He's played two games and he scored in each one of those games. So he gets it done everywhere. And the next step is probably getting it done in the National Hockey League, which is the best league in the world, but it's also played on a smaller ice surface than over in Europe. And I think he probably has to make that adjustment. So, you know, starting with the summer, we're going to be on him to be getting a little bit more explosive and a little bit stronger. He'll come in early at the training camp, probably play in the rookie games so that our coaches and players can see him, and hopefully he can have some success there. And I'm sure he'll play in most of the preseason games to give him every chance to play for our team. Because what it does is obviously gives you more depth, and it's another offensive player that, you know, again, maybe that's what we're missing this year. Maybe if we just had one more scorer to make up for somebody that wasn't scoring. So he's a dynamic player, and really looking forward to what he could possibly bring to us next year.
You guys worked really hard to manage Pekka-Rinne's starts throughout the regular season to get him ready for the playoffs. Looking back now, do you think you did a good job in terms of managing his play, and how do you handle that now moving forward with Yusei Saros, who looks to be like he's could be a star on the rise?
Yeah, I think we mean the coaches handled Pekka and Yusei very well this year. I mean, Pekka never played a back-to-back game. Yusei went in for all of those and a few others. I think in the natural evolution of where we're going with our goaltending, that Yusei will and needs and deserves to have more starts. Again, there's no question in my mind that Pekka's a phenomenal goalie. He's still our number one goalie, and he's probably going to win the Vezina Trophy this year. The good news is we've got Yusei Saros that someday looks like the heir apparent, and I think we're quite comfortable with that. So, you know, I think this is something the coaches have to manage with the two goaltenders and Pekka specifically, but we want to make the playoffs next year, and then we want to have everybody ready, including our goaltenders, for the playoffs. And if that meant, you know, five less starts for Pekka and five more for Saros, if that's the right number, then that's what we should work towards.
Have you seen enough from Yusei Saros to believe that he's not only a number one goaltender in this league at some point, but could be a top-level goalie in the NHL?
He's really starting to track that way. I mean, again, it's all about confidence. I guess you could say the confidence for the goaltender has in himself and the confidence that the players have in him. And I think this year we've got to that point. I mean, even in of all situations, when Pekka got pulled in the seventh game, he went in there and did a great job and seemed to be totally under control and focused and ready to go. So again, we're in a really good position with these two goaltenders, and you know, the good news is that they're both really good, and the good news is, or the challenge, I guess you should say, is we just have to figure out how to use them both so that we can get wins from both of them and put everybody in position so that we can be successful again next year, especially in the playoffs.
Nashville Predators general manager David Poile has been our guest. David, thanks so much for the time throughout the season. We've really enjoyed it here on the show. I know our listeners have enjoyed it as well. And best of luck moving forward this offseason, and enjoy maybe even just a little bit of downtime here in the upcoming couple months.
Eventually we'll do that, but I thank you guys for your questions and your support this year. It was a really good year, just a really disappointing ending, but we're going to do everything we can to improve on that next year.
We look forward to talking again when it gets started up. Thanks.
Thanks, David.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Preds GM David Poile, always honest, and said a lot right there with Pekka Rinne and Yusei Saros moving forward, and the roster moving forward as well.